you got to do this epic adventure for a period of time, and it's kind of like you get to go be Superman, and then you come back and you have to try to be Clark Kent again, and really you just want to keep being Superman.
Welcome to Backpacker Radio, presented by The Trek. I am your host, Zach Badger Davis. This is episode number 17 of our Trail Correspondent Series. And yes, this is it, the end. Our final episode of this first season. A thru hike is, typically speaking, a half-year adventure. In the midst of this journey, that feels like a very long time. Certainly long enough to adapt to an entirely different way of life. In the spectrum of one's life, however, it's just the blink of an eye, God willing. Which is why I think today's episode might be my favorite yet. Today, we hear from our hikers a couple weeks or more removed from their treks. We learn how the lessons and habits of their former lives have bled over into, quote, the real world. Of course, soaking up the adventure for what it is, while it's happening, is of utmost importance. But, in my perspective, it's how these hikes alter someone's world long after they've left the trail that's of most interest. Our correspondents reflect back on their hikes and the chasm between this former world and their current. And lastly, we'll hear from Legend, who recently completed the Great Western Loop. His update is brief, but the emotion is strong. You can hear it especially in his sign-off. So, with a heavy heart, here it is, our final update from our correspondents. Enjoy.
Hey guys, this is Floss checking in from my little back patio here in my basement apartment here in DC. I was thinking about doing this inside from the comfort of my own home, but it didn't feel right to do it indoors, so here I am. It is over a month and a half since I finished the trail. I finished October 6th, and today, I think, is the 21st, 22nd? I don't know, I can't remember what day it is, but, yeah, I think the first thing that's worth going over is the fact that I'm still not fully coming to terms with the magnitude of the, of what I did. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the way I had organized this, you know, I had asked off for the time from work maybe a year and a month before I actually left for the trail. So I had that all planned out, that I'd be coming back to the exact same job, and all that sort of stuff, which isn't necessarily what I encountered as being the typical way of going about things. So, you know, I did this big thing, and I come back, and, well, work-wise, you know, which is, you know, 5 days a week, 9 to 6, is exactly the same. I don't think I was expecting it to change. I think it was being away from it for so long and coming back, and, you know, I'm back at my desk, under the fluorescent lights. I don't know. Every day when I was out on trail, you know, I was doing the same thing every day, you know, walking, but every day was different. And I was accomplishing something every day, and sometimes there are, you know, there's days at work where you don't get to accomplish something every day. And you don't get to do something new. But, you know, that's why I did the trail, you know. I needed a change of pace and a recharging of the batteries. But I'm so glad I did it. And everyone here is so, you know, when it inevitably comes up in conversation, everyone's very interested in it, in what I did and how I did it, and, you know, you always get the question, like, what was the toughest thing, or what was the craziest thing that happened? And sometimes it's hard to answer those questions. Because, you know, a lot of the hard parts of the days are kind of, the hard parts of the trail rather have been evened out by all the good memories. That's usually what I'm focusing on, is all the good days. And, you know, I didn't think it would happen, but, you know, people would always say, oh, after it, you'll forget about the worst days you had. But you do. And the ones you do remember is like, that was character building, you know? But yeah, I'm still coming to terms with the fact that I did it, you know? And it's always, you know, especially when family are like, they say something along the lines of, that was a massive accomplishment, I'm very proud of you, and all this sort of stuff. It's kind of hard to accept the compliment, maybe, is what I'm looking for. I don't know. But I am so glad I did it, and I'm so, so thankful for all the people I met along the way. If any of you guys are listening, you made the trail as fun as it was. I wouldn't have been able to have done it without any of you. But yeah, that's my last entry. So that is Floss, signing off.
Hey everyone, it's Sassafras reporting, not live from the trail. I'm actually just about perfectly a month out from my summit and the end of my hike. And mostly I just feel still kind of dazed and amazed that I hiked the whole trail and that I managed my foot issues for as long as I did. I think all of the stuff with my feet made my experience really different from what I had been expecting. It definitely took longer. It was much slower. But I think in many ways I had a way deeper appreciation for being on trail because of how hard I had to fight to stay on trail, because of how hard physically being on trail ended up being for me. It was really humbling, and I feel like it taught me a bunch of things about myself that I wouldn't have learned if it had gone some other way. So I'm really thankful for that, but that's easy to say now. I will say, I think it's the thing in my life I'm most proud of having done. And I'm really happy that I did not quit when I was thinking seriously about quitting. I think it helped force me to even more so hike my own hike. And that portion of my experience, the second half of my hike in particular, was just incredible for me personally. And I feel so thankful to have met all of the hikers that I met. I've stayed in touch with a lot of them, and it's amazing how somebody that you really only sat and chatted with a day or two can end up becoming really kind of a lifelong friend, and how you check in with each other after trail, and how much, you know, the ups and downs after the hike seem to mirror each other as well. I feel like every hiker I talk to is somewhat in the same boat I am right now. We're all struggling a bit to figure out what to do next. We're all kind of wishing we could still be on trail, but also a little bit relieved that we aren't, as we watch the weather change and deal with hurricanes and other things. And it's, I feel like that's an amazing camaraderie that we'll have always. And I'm really, really blessed to have those folks in my life. And I feel like part of what the trail has given me, or at least surviving the trail has given me, is this absolutely unshakable belief that if I set myself to a task, I can do it. Because I hiked almost 2,000 miles on feet that were miserable, and I did that because I decided I was going to do it. And I don't know that I'll ever have to do anything again in my life that was as daily, deliberate, and difficult as that decision was. that I had to decide every day that I was going to keep putting myself through this to achieve a goal and keep pushing myself through it. And, you know, compared to that, a lot of things in off-trail life don't seem as challenging, although life out here is, you know, so much different, so much more fast-paced, seems so much more focused around things and money, and that adjustment's been kind of tricky to slide back into. But so yeah, my life feels really different now, and I'm still trying to figure out what that looks like. My feet were really more or less utterly destroyed by the hike. I actually couldn't walk for about a week and a half. My doctor put me in a boot on my left foot, which has helped. I can walk now, which is great. I actually got an MRI done on that foot. And the long and the short of it is that I'm lucky. I didn't end up with any stress fractures or breaks, but I have a whole lot of very swollen and very unhappy ligaments and tendons and soft tissue in both of my feet. And so it's going to be a long time, I think, before I'm able to hike again, before I'll be able to run or bike. Right now I can't even kick while I swim. So it's been really humbling in that way. I really hope it doesn't take me as long to recover as it took me to hike the whole trail, but I guess we'll find out. And I guess I would like to say to other hikers who are struggling with that transition, reach out to the hikers, the tramily that you made, the hikers that you met, because odds are every hiker you talk to is going through the same thing, even though the specifics might be different. Like, I don't know anybody else who has the foot problems I do, but every hiker that I've reached out to has said, you know, I'm really struggling trying to figure out what to do next, whether that's with career or, you know, what adventure do you plan next or whatever. It's like none of us really quite fit the lives that we left anymore, but you have to figure out what that life looks like. And at least when you were hiking, you knew what that life looked like. And now there's just so many possibilities. You have to sift through them. So talk to other hikers, because you're certainly not alone in that. And for me, I actually just recently created a daily kind of schedule or routine for myself, because I had such a good routine on trail and that worked well for me. And I felt like, you know, being unemployed, not having a place to live, sleeping on friends' couches, there is a whole lot of chaos going on in my life. And I feel a little bit better now that I've got that kind of daily routine that kind of mimics the routine I had on trail, even though it's completely not physical. And I'm usually sleeping and going to sleep in the same place now. And I've started planning my future adventures under the assumption that my feet will get better at some point. So, and I would recommend doing that too, but it's really hard to articulate how different life is now. It's kind of like, you got to do this epic adventure for a period of time, and it's kind of like you get to go be Superman, and then you come back and you have to try to be Clark Kent again, and really you just want to keep being Superman and trying to figure out how to do that, and what it means to you, what the parts of it that are important enough to continue doing in your life are. For me, given the situation with my feet, I don't think I'll have another long distance through hike in my body. I think I would be really foolish to attempt that, knowing all the problems that I developed on this one. But it's left me really stoked and excited to do other long distance endurance things. Long distance cycling. My previous long for that has been 3 days, 180 miles, and a single day 100 mile ride. And I'm really looking forward to maybe cycling across the country or doing some other long scenic rides at some point. Looking at like long distance through paddling endeavors. And for me, I've decided to take the opportunity to, you know, sign up for classes or learn about things that I've always kind of wanted to do but never made the time for. Right now I've got plenty of time. I just have no money, but I've got plenty of time. And if it's not something that I don't have to be on my feet for, it's actually a great time for me to do it. But it's weird. It's weird not having anybody call me Sass or Sassafras all the time. Growing back to my given name has been really odd, and I miss being Sassafras. I miss it a lot. But I'm also really so thankful for the amount of strength and fortitude that I feel that I have. My struggle is not at all doubting myself anymore. I have full belief in myself. It's just trying to figure out what to set myself toward, what goal to work toward next. And to realize that I'm, you know, kind of a machine at doing that now. I think that's part of what the trail helps you do, is to figure out the best way for you personally to achieve like a long-term, really challenging mentally, challenging physically, challenging spiritually, emotionally, goal. And I think all of us are really well positioned to do that now. And I think that presents us with a kind of awesome opportunity. We got to spend a bunch of months living outside of sort of dominant mainstream culture. And now I think we have the opportunity to kind of leverage that momentum to do other interesting things. And I've watched a lot of my fellow thru-hikers come back and do things like, you know, go back to school or decide that they're going to start a business or decide that they no longer want to be running the business that they've been running, or decide that they want to sell their house or that they want to buy an RV or they want to live in a different part of the country or whatever. I think it's really easy to focus on how much you miss the trail. And I think sometimes we lose what a gift it is to have all that self-knowledge and courage and strength, and to know that you have, you know, that power to really make something happen in your life. So I'm trying to channel that and not to just be really sad about missing the trail, which I do every day. I think I might spend the rest of my life missing the trail, but it's something I also will always carry with me, and it's good to remember that. And goodness knows the woods and the mountains are always going to be there to run away to if I really need to. So it's so odd to think that I hiked from Georgia to Maine. I still can't really. I mean, I was there. I hiked all of it, every step of it, all 14 of those states. But that's the thing that I kind of lose when I think about it. And it's pretty wicked awesome. So thank you all for coming along on this journey with me and listening to these podcasts. And I hope that you all get out there and do an adventure of your own, whatever that might be, soon. And that it teaches you the things that you need to learn. It's a beautiful day to be on trail or to be on a trail of your own making. This is Sassafras signing out.
What's up, you hooligans? It's your boy, Abby Tech, coming at you live from Hippieville, USA, Asheville, North Carolina. Say something, Roscoe. He is the basin. That's right, buddy. That is my basset hound, Roscoe P. Waggletails. And he has made it easier on the transition coming back home after the trail. This is the third week today since I've been back home after summoning Mount Katahdin. I knew it was going to be shitty from the get-go, and I'll tell you what, the worst day on trail was the last day on trail for me. Emotionally, man, I did not want to fucking leave that whole climb up Mount Katahdin. Your emotions are just roller coastering the whole goddamn trip. You cry, you fucking get pissed, you're laughing, all in one. It's like, where the hell is Dr. Phil when you need him, man? But then I hopped on that train back in Portland, man, and I just missed the trail the whole time. I'm like, damn it, now what do I do? Well, luckily, I had my job lined up and a place to stay, and I had my dog waiting for me all back here in Asheville, so I knew it was going to be a little easier for me, even though I did sell everything. I don't own anything. Everything I own is hiking gear, which is the way I prefer it, but either who, I got back to work. You know, they say stay busy, go hiking, go walking at least. Just keep your mind occupied when you get done with a thru hike. If you're walking for 6 months straight, what the fuck do you do now? But what I did, the biggest thing I've done is start nerding out on the PCT, man. I knew I wanted to attempt the Triple Crown before I even started the AT, and that's still the plan. I just wanted to get one under my belt before I started thinking about that shit. But now that I've completed the AT, I can start thinking about the PCT. I am going northbound, leaving from Campo, California, probably late March, early April next year. So now I let the planning, psychopath planning like I did with the AT, begin for the PCT. So I've been nerding out on forums and gear and researching the shit out of this thing. I love it. I mean, people ask me all the time, what do you listen to on trail? What kind of music you listen to? What podcast you listen to? Well, I'm such a nerd. I listen to hiking podcasts. Hashtag Backpacker Radio. I'm on that shit. Go check it out. But yeah, I listen to hiking podcasts, man, even when I'm hiking. It's just what I think about 24/7. And especially now that I'm home and I'm not doing it, I think about it even more. So that's basically what I've been doing, just playing, upgrading the gear I need to upgrade, and yeah, just researching the shit out. I downloaded gut hooks already for the PCT, just studying maps and all that shit, which it's hilarious because I know this from the AT. Once you get out on trail, all that the majority of that shit goes out the window, but it's still fun to plan and nerd out on this stuff when you're not doing it. So that is the plan. I just got to save a shit ton of money, get up that ramen noodle fund, and I'm going to continue making YouTube videos, all the gear videos, and I'll be out hiking. I just sold my truck, so getting out hiking is going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to have to bum rides to get up the Blue Ridge Parkway, but I will get some hiking in. But the main priority is to save up as much goddamn money so I can go hiking for 6 months at a time. That is the plan. I want to thank each and every one of you fuckers for following me along since Springer Mountain, man. And it means a lot to me. Yeah, Zach and the Trek crew, man, you guys are awesome meeting you at Trail Day. So thanks to everybody for following along this journey. This is just one of three, man. So hopefully we'll hear from you fuckers, and you'll hear from my ass on the PCT and my white ass getting burnt in the desert next spring. Well, I'll let you all later down the trail, man.
Hi guys, it's Tunes checking in from my back patio on a Monday in overcast Dallas, Texas. I'm sorry if you hear any planes or lawnmowers or dogs barking. It's just the new nature noises that I am living with now that I'm off the trail and back in a city. So honestly, I haven't had or made very much time to reflect and process what just happened. So it's been about 3 weeks since I've gotten off the trail, and I'm just going to try to unpack a little bit of it for you here on the podcast, starting at the beginning. So when I decided that I wanted to hike the PCT, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I was unhappy and unfulfilled, and I saw this thing that people were doing, and those people seemed happy, and they seemed fulfilled, and they seemed to know things that I didn't know, but I wanted to know. I didn't think I could do it. In fact, I was pretty sure I couldn't do it. Turns out I was right, because I didn't do it. LOL. But I can, I know that now. But anyway, the point is, I didn't think I could do it back then. But I started making changes in my life and doing things that slowly over the past or the next couple of years convinced me that, okay, like if I keep doing things like this, then maybe I will be at a state where I could attempt to do this. And then all of a sudden, I was going to do it for sure. And then on March 31st, there I was standing at the monument with this huge group of people that I had met the night before at Scout and Frodo's, who made me feel comfortable and confident and excited. And I wasn't even nervous. I knew I could do it. And I started walking, and those first few weeks were bliss. I was so happy. I loved every minute of it, and I'm like not kidding. I loved every minute of it for the first like several weeks, and that was before the loneliness set in. It was before any of the frustration or the self-doubt or you know, the anger that eventually became a big character in my through hike. But at that point, early on, I think I was just so grateful to be doing something that I had planned and set out to do for so long. And especially, like, in contrast to the life that I had just left, it was so wonderful to just be out there, you know, instead of the busyness and the clutter and the confusion of, like, living a life where, you know, I was balancing jobs and friendships and to-dos and things that I wanted to do but needed to make time for. That's what I was doing before. And then all of a sudden, there I was on the PCT with such a simple, simple life. I was outside every day getting a ton of exercise in beautiful, fresh air, surrounded by the most beautiful nature, the most insanely badass, amazing humans that I want to be like, challenging myself every single day in not only like new ways, but in unexpected ways. And over time, of course, I got used to living on the trail. That's what happens when you do anything for an extended period of time. And, you know, at that point, your old demons will start to come back. And for me, that happens to be a little mixture of, I don't know, depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-doubt. All of those things showed up on the trail, but I was still happy. I mean, happy, happy, happy. And I think, like, one of the things that is so clear to me now looking back is, like, that's what happiness looks like for me. That's what fulfillment looks like for me. And it's always going to look different because the thing is, like, I'm not going to be a through hiker, like, or a long distance hiker forever. That's not, I mean, I probably will be that forever, but, like, I'm not always going to be living my life on a hiking trail is what I'm trying to say. And, like, duh, because there's other things I want to do in my life. But the thing is, like, it goes so far beyond being on a hiking trail. The things that I learned out there about how to be happy, like, those were presented to me in the context of being on a long distance hiking trail, of course, but it doesn't mean that that has to change now that I'm back. And that's one of the things that I think I've learned in the little reflecting that I have done is, like, all the ways that I've been unhappy since I've been back have been because I haven't been translating those lessons from the trail into my life. And just like I was so happy and grateful in the beginning of my hike, now being done with my hike, I'm so happy and grateful for every moment that I had on the trail because it is in a, you know, stark contrast to what I have here in Dallas. And really what that looks like is it's not easy to be happy on the trail, but it's simple. Like I said, you're surrounded by those people who inspire you. You're surrounded by beauty, nature, fresh air. You know, the things that you need, you have with you. It's simple. There's no distractions unless you distract yourself. but it's simple. And beyond just having the things that you need to be happy, you also have what you need to be fulfilled. There's a very clear path right in front of you or behind you, whatever, whichever direction you choose to walk. And the milestones and the sense of achievement is very easily quantifiable. It's very easy to see your progress. Everything you need to be happy and satisfied are right there for you on the trail. And the thing is, here in this, whatever you want to call it, fake world, it's all here too. There are so many ways to be fulfilled and challenged in exciting and new ways. You can meet new people who inspire you. You can surround yourself with beauty and nature and healthy, good food and, you know, like, things that nourish you intellectually, spiritually, physically. You can go get exercise, but it's not that simple. There are so many choices here to make. There's no path straight in front of me. there's not one or two directions to walk. There's a million. So it's harder and it's a lot less simple here. And there are a lot more distractions naturally. Like, we're literally constantly advertised to, for one. I mean, there's no billboards on the PCT. Like, there's no pop-up ads. But it's all about mindset. And that's another thing I learned on the trail. It's all about your mindset. So with that being said, now I'm here. I have all the choices in the world. I could do anything. And I think right now I'm going to start small. I'm going to do the things that I know fulfill me and that I know make me happy. And I'm going to simplify in every aspect, because the simpler that I can make my life, the more I can appreciate what I have. And that's the key to freaking happiness. Truth. So yeah, what does that look like? I mean, for me, I don't really know yet. I know one element of it is going to be writing. You know, I'm not going to be walking for 12 hours a day, and I need another pursuit. And for me, like, that's always been writing, and I think it always will be writing in some capacity. So shameless plug, if you want to hear more of my thoughts on life and hiking and how those two intersect, then you can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is Dirty Funky Tunes. I do a lot of writing on there, and I'll also be getting back to my website and blogging and writing stories. So you can find that information on Instagram too. But that's kind of it for now. That's all I have. It's been an amazing experience to be able to share my experience and my thoughts with all of you guys. And I honestly hope that if I do more long distance hiking in the future, which I'm sure I will, hashtag AT2020, Zach will give me the opportunity to do that again, because it really added so much to my hike. And I'm super, 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 super grateful to be able to just share with a larger audience, because I know that when I was first planning on this hike, like, one of my main resources was listening to podcasts and hearing from other hikers, and I was so inspired by hearing their stories that, like, I decided that that was what I wanted to do, and I don't know if I ever would have done this otherwise. So thank you, Zach. Thank you, Juliana. Thank you, everybody, for listening all this time. I hope you got something out of it, and I sincerely hope that whatever it is that makes you happy and fulfilled, that you will get the clutter out of the way and freaking do it. If it's hiking, if it's sitting in a chair and reading a book, do it, do it, do it, do it, because life is short. The end. Love you guys. Tunes out.
Hey, it's Photon. I'm home now, or at least at my parents' house in Santa Cruz, California. And I finished the trail just over a month ago, and I'm still sort of easing back into conventional life, as I like to call it. I traveled a little bit after the trail. I went to Vancouver and Seattle, and then I went to Hawaii with my mom, which was a trip we planned before the trail. And then I flew directly to my best friend's wedding in LA, and then my boyfriend, who I actually met on the trail, came out to visit, so we went to Sequoia National Park in Kings Canyon to see the big trees. And then I had jury duty, and then I've been sick, so it's been kind of a whirlwind of activity. And now I finally feel like I have time to, like, you know, start applying to jobs and like getting more serious about what's next in my life because I still don't really know. But that's okay, I guess, for now. A lot of people from home have been asking me about the trail, which I actually really like. I think it's been really helpful for me to be able to talk about my experiences a lot. And I really like answering everybody's questions. A big one that I get a lot is like, okay, so, you know, what changed? Like, how have you changed since doing the trail? And I don't, that's like probably the hardest question to answer because I don't know. It's just hard to put a finger on that, and maybe I didn't change at all. But what I've been saying, which I think is true, is that I realize that life is too short to really do anything other than exactly what you want. I spent a lot of time on the trail feeling guilty about not like getting a career going or furthering my education just because I just kept seeing what my peers were up to and they were all doing really great things, and I had to take a step back and be like, this is a really great thing, hiking the trail, and this is what I want to do, so I should focus on that and not what I feel like I should be doing or what other people are doing. So that was a big takeaway for me, but I think I'm still grappling with it, especially now that the trail is done and I'm like, oh shoot, now what do I do? And I've definitely been thinking about the AT and the CDT, and it wouldn't be impossible to do one of them next year, but I think I just really miss the PCT, and instead of confronting that, I'm just like, okay, well, what's the next trail that I can plan to do so I can, like, get that feeling again? So I don't know if it's actually coming from a good place, but I'm thinking about it. Especially because I'm like going through all my stuff now at my parents' house, and there's like a big stack of resupply boxes that I never had sent to the trail, and I'm like, I could put these to good use. So yeah, very tempting. I've been talking to like my trail family a lot. We still have a group message on WhatsApp that we're all pretty active in, so that's been nice, and a good way to ease back into it is having them and being able to talk about it. And I was just saying to my buddy, like, there is nothing that I would do differently if I could do the PCT again. Like, yeah, there are some logistical things that I might do differently. I wouldn't pack as many resupply boxes, for one. But, like, it was so perfect. Like, I wouldn't want to do it any other way. It was just what I was looking for. And I didn't really have expectations for the trail. I mean, I had an idea of what it would be like from, you know, reading blogs and watching videos and stuff about the trail before I left. I knew it was going to be great, but it was, like, was so much more than that. Like, you can't experience it without doing it. So if anybody's listening and they're thinking about doing the trail, please, for you and for me, do it. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers my post-trail thoughts. Photon out for the last time. Unless you hear from me next season.
What's up, everyone? This is Miles to Go, checking in one last time. I know you guys thought you heard the end of me, but luckily for me, Zach and Juliana are kind enough to let me do one last check-in here for the finale episode of the Trail Correspondent Series in this inaugural season for Backpacker Radio. So I just want to fill you in on how I'm doing post-hike, now that it's been a few months, how I'm adjusting to life after the trail, and what some of the future holds for me. So without further ado, I'm not going to lie. I think about the trail and the PCT and the people out there every single day of my life since getting off the trail. I do definitely still regret getting off trail in some small measure because I do want to experience the rest of the trail after seeing so many of our friends go through that. part of the hike and how much they loved it and how beautiful and amazing it looked. So I spent most of Thanksgiving trying to convince Lindsay, my hiking partner and fiance, ways that we might be able to go out there this summer for a couple weeks and do at least a section from Dunsmuir to Ashland, which is 217 miles, and hopefully break this the rest of the hike up into some smaller chunks that we can manage so we can finish off what we started in April. And to that end, since getting off the trail, it's definitely been quite an adjustment. Cindy Ross is definitely right when she says that the hardest part about getting back to the quote-unquote real world after you finish long-distance hiking is that you've grown outside the puzzle and your piece no longer fits. And I think that's really true. And I've noticed it a little bit when I came back from the AT, but more so this year. And maybe that's just because I'm getting older and that's a natural part of that process, but I really don't like being around big crowds. I don't like going to parties. I don't like socializing with a huge group of people, making small talk. I don't like going out to the bar with a bunch of people. I'd much rather stay in or go hiking by myself or running by myself or just be alone in my thoughts, walking. That's a frequent activity that I like to do. And I think that really all stems from the time that I had on the trail, which I don't regret at all. I think it's much more beneficial health-wise to a person than just being consumed by these trivialities on a daily basis. And I think that's probably been the hardest part to adjust to, is that I had such a clear sense of purpose and direction. And I do have that with coaching and teaching, but it is such an all-consuming job working in education that kids really need you to give it your 100% all the time, and it's exhausting and you just can't do it all the time, and you need that time to yourself. And that's what I miss the most, is the time to myself, when I could just exercise and holistically give my entire body and spirit everything that it needed on a daily basis. I really miss the exhilaration of movement and the freshness of mountain air and water that I don't get on a daily basis here. And one thing that I, really lament is just trying to get through the week to get to the weekend. That is a huge adjustment coming back from the trail. You know, hikers see this alternative lifestyle and we get to experience what life could be like. And then to try to come back into the rat race and then try to get through the grind of the week and get over hump day and then, you know, say, oh my God, it's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. And then, yeah, Friday, woohoo, we got 2 days off. And that's really kind of depressing. I mean, to quote Charles Bukowski, in 10 million places in America, it's the same. Stale lives propped against each other and no place to go. You get in the car and drive to work, then you drive back home, waiting for Christmas or Labor Day or Sunday or something. And that's kind of the way it is. And I really want to try to find a way to break out of that routine, and still working on it. It's going to be a work in progress, but it's definitely something that I'm trying to adjust to and not have that mentality to just look forward to the weekend, and really trying to find more balance in my life. So still working on it. Hopefully that's going to come in due time. One thing I am excited about is I will be co-teaching a backpacking 101 course during an enrichment week at my high school with another teacher, and really excited about that and trying to get kids excited about backpacking and maybe go on some hikes with my team this summer to try to do some team building stuff. So I have that to look forward to. And just to close things out here, just wanted to share a few final thoughts and some things that I've learned and how through hiking and backpacking has changed my life for the good. So here are just the top lessons that I've learned while hiking and in life. These are apt for both backpacking and life. Carry only what you absolutely need, and you always need less than you think you do. How you live your life is more important than what you do for a living. Everything and everywhere is within walking distance as long as you have the time. The weather follows you wherever you go, so there's no sense in complaining about it or worrying about it. It can't rain all the time. What goes up must come down, and what goes down must come back up. And in the end, all the elevation evens out. So don't sweat it. And finally, dirt is far more valuable than any gold in the world. So with that, I just want to thank Zach one last time and Juliana for letting me be a part of the inaugural season here of the Trail Correspondent Series. And I am so excited to listen to the next season and try to live vicariously through these next thru hikers and backpackers. And if you're on the fence about backpacking or thru hiking, for God's sake, put your fears behind you, bury them in the ground, and walk away from your current life for a far better one that's more enriching and more fulfilling in the mountains, and walk the freshness back into your life. It is the best decision you will ever make. Hope to hear from you and see you guys in the future. If you have any questions about my experience or future advice or anything, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at hiking_miles, and look forward to following you guys in the future. So happy trails and peace out.
Hey guys, this is Afternoon Delight, and it's been about 2.5 weeks since I finished the trail, and I'm recording now from Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., where I did not come from in the beginning, but came from Connecticut, but now I recently found an apartment here with Steel Toe, who I met on trail in the beginning, and we are trying to start off a new chapter here. So it's kind of weird being back in the real world. I think there's a lot of expectations placed on people, so I kind of see why, you know, all of our friends who finished before us were missing the trail and kind of sad that it was over. I definitely understand that. I have a bit of mixed feelings. I think because we were jumping around, we flipped around a bit, and we were so late in the season in Oregon, it was pretty cold. I just wanted to be off trail. I think Steel Toe felt the same way. And it's like now, weird, because you kind of forget about the hard parts or the painful parts, and you just reminisce and are nostalgic about the really awesome times. So I catch myself sometimes thinking about the Sierra, which was my favorite part, and I'll go through pictures and be like, oh my gosh, I actually remember being there. Why didn't I take it in more? But I know everyone says that. And I really tried to be mindful. I definitely miss it. I definitely wish I could go back. Not to the end where it was cold in Oregon for us, but, you know, Washington was great too. We did that in August. I think really I miss the desert, which is odd enough. I know a lot of people do not like the heat and being thirsty, but I really enjoyed it. Like those, you know, first 2 months, you're making a ton of new friends. You feel liberated. You know it's the beginning of the journey. Although you really are in pain, it's just kind of like a great moment. And then the Sierra, obviously, is just like scenic, you know, scenery-wise, it's, you can't beat it. I think the whole trail, it was just different from what I expected. I don't know what I expected now that it's over. It's kind of like one of those things, but I knew I was going to meet people. I knew I was going to like enjoy myself, you know, kind of be sore and all of that. But I don't think I really pictured like day to day, like what the scenery would look like, you know, how many people you're meeting, how many relationships are formed. I certainly never thought I would meet someone on the trail, you know, in a romantic sense. There's a lot that just happened that was unexpected. And then flipping, I mean, when I had to leave and Steel Toe came with me to go home for like family stuff, I was already, you know, behind because I was sick, and this put us a month behind, and it was kind of like we knew we had to flip if we wanted to get the whole thing done in the same year. And That was sad, but I can't regret it. Like, we had to do that. I had to go home as well, and it all worked out, so I'm grateful. But I definitely didn't expect that either. There's so much you can't plan for. I think you just kind of have to go along with the flow. And now it's, life is feeling different. You know, I sat in traffic today. We were driving around downtown DC and people are honking their horns. I'm sitting there biting my nails. I had like a tension headache the other day. So I think it's like a wake up call now to be back into real life. I'm a little excited, you know, to get a new job and everything and, you know, do something more meaningful. But at the same time, it's just kind of like, okay, like this is what I want my life to be like now. I want to live, or I should say work to live, you know, make the money that I need to make and move on to the next adventure. And so I think us being here is temporary, and pretty soon we're probably going to get antsy and start planning for the next thing. So yeah, overall good spirits, but definitely missing the trail. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Okay, here goes nothing. This was due about a month and a half ago. But anyways, it is Buns checking in for the last time probably. Yeah, I had a great time doing this. This was super fun. I finished the trail on September 15th and it is now November 16th. Yeah, it's been a really bumpy ride since getting off trail. I think I definitely struggled for probably a month and a half with post-trail blues, or you know, not really feeling like I meshed with other people that haven't experienced the trail or what, you know, we've experienced out there. I think that shared understanding and experience is so valuable. And I think one of my biggest issues was that I just really, really felt kind of alone a lot of the time. And coming to grips with that, like aloneness or idea that, you know, I'm obviously going to have to work through the majority of things without people that have any clue what it's like to be a thru-hiker. But yeah, it's just it's a tough spot to be in, I think, because we grow to love this lifestyle so much, and it's just so easy in so many ways. And obviously there are like immense physical and mental difficulties, but then you come back to the real world and you got to start worrying about so many different things, and just relationships and the connection between people is so different here. I think people are not necessarily intentionally less genuine, but I think that the trail kind of demands a vulnerability that in a way forces people to be open and sharing and loving. And I think a lot of times people have different interests out here, and out there I just think the interests are so much more communal because everyone's in the same, you know, same long journey and everyone's fighting the same fight and we're all on one team. Whereas here, I think people sometimes may look out for themselves more, or are not as aware maybe of other people. I think being out hiking for so long just allows us to tune in so intimately with ourselves and just know, you know, everything that's going on in ourselves and how our body's feeling, what's going through our head, and then working through those things as well as knowing what's going on with other people. And I feel like, at least for me, I think that the, like, I'm already a pretty sensitive person in terms of, I think, kind of figuring out how people are feeling sometimes, but I think that the trail really heightens that awareness for a lot of people. And so yeah, I just think the connections are oftentimes a lot more intimate and vulnerable and out there than you can get a lot of times back in society. And that is one of the biggest struggles, right, is not really having that in the same way. Another one that I've only recently realized, and thank goodness I signed up for the marathon when I was in Mammoth, but yeah, I signed up for the marathon so I wouldn't feel like I had nothing to do after trail, and yet I still refrained from running a whole bunch. But recently, as the mileage has increased, I found myself at the end of a lot of days just coming home after pushing myself on a good run with a similar kind of sensation that you get on trail, and that's that moment at the end of the day where you just sit down and you just go, ah, and it's just so nice to know that you have like worked the day and like you've had a good day and you've exerted yourself, and you know, not a whole lot's left on the table, but you're happy with everything that happened in the day, and that is just such a good feeling in itself. And I feel like running has also given me a great outlet to have time to myself to think. Obviously in society there's a lot more distractions available, from, you know, your phone being a constant thing versus maybe you go through some service every once in a while, to now it's like all the time, you know, buzzing all the time, da da da. Traffic is another thing. I'm commuting to work right now and traffic is not one of my favorite things. But there's just so many different things. There's always something going on. There's always people doing things. And that in itself can be really, really overwhelming. I notice I get hit with nostalgia at odd times, as well as kind of like sensory overload at times. So sometimes I'll be in a grocery store or a bar and it'll be loud and packed and it's totally fine. And then other times it's just like I cannot even think, and I really just know that I need to not be here anymore, and I feel like I need to leave. Although that is just, you know, obviously it's important to listen to what your body's saying, but it's not it's not a great coping mechanism if you just avoid every time you're just like, oh, this is too much. Anyways, nostalgia really hit me in a bizarre and hard way. I went out camping with my dad and brother in October, and there were windmills with the red lights, and or wind turbines with the red lights, and I was driving out there at night, and oh man, it just made me miss the desert so much. And like, I had no idea that somehow there is just such a deep affinity for these lights, because they bring back so many great memories. Two times crossing the LA Aqueduct at night and having those lights blinking and being with people that I were some of the most important people either year on trail to me. And yeah, it's just it's crazy the things that'll pop up that makes you that make you really think about the trail and miss the trail. A great lesson I think I've learned after coming off trail is that you know, that post-trail blues or depression or being in a funk or whatever you want to call it is very, very real. And I know it's not always easy, but I think I had been trending in the negative, and one of the realizations I made on one of my longer runs was that, you know, being happy is a constant battle. And if you truly want to be happy, and this is at least for me, I'm not going to prescribe this to everyone, but I think that part of being happy is consistently battling for things you want in your life, and consistently fighting that feeling of sadness or, you know, being off creeping in. And it's important to know that's coming and feel that, and it's not good to deny your emotions. But I think, you know, if you're just in a bad mood all the time because you're sad, it's something that can change. And I think fighting that feeling in whatever way you need to is a valuable thing, because at least for me, I feel like in the last 2 weeks I've been so much more happy, and it's just my whole life is improving, and I'm not blaming people for things, or I'm not just angry, or I'm not just reading the wrong side of the coin. I'm realizing like everything has two sides to it, and you can oftentimes decide how you want to look at these things. For a while there, I was just looking at the wrong side, and now I feel like I can acknowledge the wrong side and still be angry or sad or mad about it or whatever, and not deny those emotions. But I also realize like, hey, but there's also this, which is a great thing, and this is a great opportunity that's going to arise because of this. And at least for me, the things that have helped me most with kind of breaking through this is just really exercising a lot and getting to that point at the end of the day where I'm truly exhausted and feel like I have spent my day well. And then also, you know, bringing as much novelty into my life as possible, as well as, yeah, fighting that fight each day to do things that make me happy and not allow myself to get caught in cycles of negativity, and looking for ways to break those cycles if I see myself start to slip into one. But yeah, all in all, one thing that's kind of crazy is I don't feel like I really got to celebrate finishing the trail when I was at the terminus, and I had minimal emotions around it because I didn't know what to feel, and it was kind of overwhelming, and I just feel like, or felt like I was just like, it was just too much. And only recently I feel like have I finally been super proud of myself for finishing the trail, and it is an incredible, incredible feat. And like now just saying this is bringing a huge smile to my face, but yeah, I am so proud of myself. It is a crazy thing. I'm so thankful to all the people I met this year and last, to all the trail angels, to everyone who listened to this podcast. It's been a really fun platform, and I'm glad that, you know, I've been able to be a little bit, or I've been able to contribute to it. And thanks to Zach and everyone else for putting this thing together. This was only supposed to be 5 minutes, and now I'm going on 10:30. So whoops, but, buns out, I guess. Lucas is joining the real world. All right. Later, peeps. Get out hiking. Do what you can. Have fun. Love y'all. Later.
Hey, it's Rabbit. So I have been done with the trail for, wow, 2 months now, and it feels crazy. Part of me feels like I just stepped off the trail, but then the other part of me is like, no, you've gained 10 pounds. It's been 2 months. So I have a job, and I am doing all sorts of things like that, and it's getting cold. So it actually does, it's starting to feel actually like post-trail now. The thing I think that's hardest for me is that after the Appalachian Trail and after the Pacific Crest Trail, I was able to just say, well, you know, I'm going on another hike, and this is all temporary. And it was so nice to just be able to say, you know, this job or this moment or whatever I was doing in my life was just, it was just a jump in between hikes, because my life became just through hiking. I think people who don't go straight from one hike to the next maybe feel that a bit less, because they actually reestablish their lives or go back to their jobs or things that they, you know, have kind of have established in their lives. But I didn't really have that after either of my trails. I bounced around a lot. I didn't really have a lot of consistency. So now that's something I'm kind of reestablishing again, and it's not bad. It is good to be able to know that, you know, whenever I'm telling, you know, jobs that I want, like teaching yoga, that I will be able to be here, and I don't, you know, I mean it. I'll actually be able to stay for more than a few months and, you know, build something. It does feel good to know that. And for me, the thought of not doing another through hike was so crippling for really, I mean, the first month I got off trail, that's why I've actually taken so long to do this post-trail update, because I just, part of me wasn't doing that great. I was just so, I just missed it so much, and it was so hard. But then actually a lot of things turned around for me, I should say emotionally, because I went and got my Triple Crown Award from All to West, and it wasn't the award by any means that, you know, made me suddenly feel better. It was being around all the other hikers and being around just an entire room full of Triple Crowners just made me realize, like, there, you can do this, and you can keep being part of the hiking community after you're done with your Triple Crown, and you can keep doing things, and like, this is not the end. It is the beginning of just like a whole new phase. And it's really, It's really great. And just, it's something about the hiking community, just being with those people just feeds my soul and makes me feel like, you know, like I'm, I've done the right thing with my life. And it just was, it was so uplifting to be in that group of people. And that really made me kind of feel better. And whenever I was, it was in Oregon, and I got to go to Timberline Lodge and have breakfast. And then I hiked on the PCT. I didn't do any overnights, but I just like went on like, you know, these day hikes of like, you know, 4 or 5 miles. And even though it wasn't that long or that hard or whatever, I was just able to go out and just like be in the Mount Hood wilderness. And I just felt so good and so at home. And that just, you know, it really, really, really helped me. And then I came back to New York and I went on hikes here with another friend of mine who has done the PCT. And so that was really great to reconnect with, you know, people back in New York. And it's just really is that community that's kind of like pushing me forward and helping me get motivated for, you know, my life. And it's turning into good things. And I know now I have a plan for what I'll be doing next summer, which is different than my past 3 summers. I don't plan on doing a real long distance trail, just a minor long distance trail. I would like to do the Tour de Mont Blanc. So that's what I'm saving money for right now and kind of planning. I've got a guidebook and I'm reading up on it. And I've got friends now in Germany and Switzerland and all over Europe from all of my through hikes. And I'm realizing that I can go to Europe and connect again with that community, that it doesn't just have to be here at events or certain places or on hikes, that I can actually travel the world and meet up with other amazing through hikers that I've met. And that is just, you know, just wonderful. I can continue hiking and I can, you know, bring in people that I've, you know, that are a part of my life still. And it's just made me, it's reminding me of how grateful I should be that I've been able to do these hikes, and that post trail doesn't have to be that bad because, you know, it's not really the end. Yes, it's the end of my Triple Crown. And will I through hike one of those trails again? Well, maybe. I haven't decided yet. And it's kind of nice because before I felt so much pressure just on myself to go, 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 that now I can actually stop and breathe and say, next summer, I'm going to do a 100-mile trail. And that will be okay, that I will have done a 100-mile trail and day hikes and overnights and other things, and that maybe I won't hike over 2,000 miles in that one summer, but I will still hike. I will still do what I love, and I will still connect with all of those people that I, you know, have brought in my life, and I'll make more connections. And so that's really just keeping me going, and it's making me happy again. And I'm, you know, getting to be with my husband and my family is just making me, it's making me happy. People missed me, and that was kind of cool. You forget that, I think, when you're on trail and you're in your own world and you're so caught up in your own bubble and your own goals. And then suddenly you get home and you're like, hey, people cared I was gone. That's pretty cool. Like, they want to talk to me and hang out with me. And that is really nice. It's a really good feeling as well to like feel that welcome back into my home community again, which I don't know if I had actually before I started through hiking, because through hiking gave me a chance to realize the people that I did want in my life. You know, people that I met on trail, of course, but then not people back from back home. I realized who the important people in my life are and who the ones that are gonna really be there for me and help move me forward in a positive way. And those are the people that I'm super happy to call my friends, that I have with me going forward. And it's making everything okay. And so, you know, I've recorded actually a couple of these. Recorded a couple post-trail voice recordings. And I've got to say, I could not submit the other ones because I think I cried in both of them. I was so depressed. I was just like, I can't help that no one will thru-hike. Nobody will ever do this if they think that this is what it's like when you finish. But that is part of the reality. Part of the reality is that I finished these hikes and I feel post-trail depression. And I think it's okay. And it's kind of like all mental health issues. If you acknowledge it and you are, you know, strong enough to tell people that's how you're feeling, they will help you. And then it will help yourself acknowledge what's going on, that, you know, it helped me realize, like, I am not crazy. This is part of the process. you know, this is part of a whole through hike. It doesn't end the moment that you, you know, you hit Katahdin or you hit Canada, you hit that border. It comes home with you, and it ends whenever you're able to kind of make peace with yourself that, you know, you have walked this trail and you've completed it for this time or this moment, or you've done, you know, whatever hike you wanted to do. And that's whenever I think a through hike actually kind of starts to come to a close and something new opens up again, is, you know, whenever you can come to those terms with yourself. And I think that I've kind of come to that place. Don't get me wrong, I'm still sad. I still miss it like crazy. I miss my friends. I miss the trail. I miss the way it smells. God, everything in the regular world smells terrible. Even dish soap smells awful. I don't understand how I ever wore perfume or deodorant, but yeah, that stuff is terrible. So I am transitioning back, but I'll never be back to where I was before. And I'm really happy with myself for that, that I can come back and be what feels like a new, not even new, that's wrong to say, a better version of myself. I'm still the same person, but I'm growing. And I just feel like this has all been really good for me. And I know I said it before, but I'm so, so eternally grateful for everyone that I met and everybody that helped me on the trail, the trail angels, my other just people on trail who, you know, said encouraging words or picked me up or listened to my craziness. It's all just everything that I couldn't be more grateful for any of it. So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Backpacker Radio. I hope I get to keep chatting with you. All right. Well, this is Rabbit signing off.
Well, it's all over. Finished the Great Western Loop. 6,919 miles in 208 days and a few hours. Kinda crazy, it's all over. The transition from hiker to homeless sure is quick. Well, I don't have too many thoughts on it. It's kind of insane. I think my first real thoughts will be when I have to enter the big city again. But, been through it before. Post-hike depression is a bitch.
And that concludes our final episode of this first season. Before we get to our sign-off, I want to pass along a massive thank you to all of our correspondents. This first season was a huge success. And let's be clear, this is your doing. You poured your hearts, souls, and voices into this project. You set an incredibly high bar for what's yet to come. More on that in a minute. It's been a blast following your journey and witnessing your growth. From the very bottom of my heart, thank you. You will be missed. And as I've alluded to in previous episodes, we are now officially accepting applications for next year's season of our Trail Correspondent Series. As was the case for this year, we're looking for people who are thru-hiking the AT, PCT, and CDT. But if you're taking on one of the other long trails, you're still encouraged to apply. We're still figuring out exactly what the next season's going to look like, but if you've got a knack for sharing stories and relaying transformative experiences, we want you. Head to thetrek.co to find the application, which went out in a post dated on November 27th, or we'll include it in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the show, we really greatly appreciate your reviews on iTunes. This helps us to get the word out about the show. Additionally, you can support the show through our Patreon account at patreon.com/backpackerradio. You can continue to keep up with the show on Instagram at Backpacker Radio, on Twitter at Backpacker Pod, and we're also on Facebook. You can follow me personally at ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter. Last but not least, a massive thank you to Polly Boy Shallcross, who took over the editing of the show pretty early on in this season. Your audio skills have been a major addition to the show. And if you think the show's production is good, you should check out his delicious assortment of coffee at oldmanmurphs.coffee. Okay, that's it. signing off until early 2019. Until then, happy hiking.